This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Episode of Second Look, the show where we take an in-depth second look at last week's stories. I'm Colleen Holden.
And I'm John Rosny. Local developments and new businesses continue to spring up in the Bloomington-Normal area, but residents may notice a new Bernese Mountain Dog mascot along the many local coffee shops. Allison Petrick of the WZND News Team spoke with the owner of Jasper's Java and the vision the owner of the coffee shop would like to bring to the Bloomington area.
What would you say is the overall mission statement of the coffee shop?
Our mission statement is helping people and pets find their forever family.
What do you want for your business?
I mean, we kind of just want to spread joy. Like, coffee is definitely something that brings a lot of happiness to people. It gives you that pickup at the end of the day or the middle of the day or the beginning of the day whenever you come to see us. Sometimes you just need a little something, you know, to help you get through there.
And, I got my drink right in front of me.
Exactly. And it spreads joy, and we think that that's a worthwhile thing to do, and we just kind of want to put that out in the world.
And then when was your opening day, and then did you have, like, a little celebration for that?
Our grand opening will be the 14th. We're soft open right now.
Can you explain
today
that
was our first. Yeah, so soft open is just kind of like, we're not announcing, we're just kind of like, when people come through, we make them drinks, so we're happy, but we're not super, like, putting it out there, like, the 14th is, like, a grand opening, we're going to hopefully announce tomorrow, I think, and that's more of, like, we've had a little time, we've practiced, we've had customers, you know.
But you said the grand opening is October 14th, how are you guys going to do that?
We're hoping to have a couple food trucks, we have two that have confirmed already. We're also hoping to get some of the, so per our mission statement, we're working with Govena as our roaster because they funnel 100% of their proceeds and profits into Lifelong for Orphans, which helps handle the cost of adoption, which can often be too much for people. It's, you know, $40,000, $50,000 to adopt sometimes, and you have these wonderful families with wonderful homes who just can't swing that, so they help to cover that cost so that more families can be formed. We're very passionate about that. We're really, really happy to work with Govena. They make incredible coffee. On the pet side of that, we're trying to come up with a rotation of different shelters, organizations that work with specifically pets. And to that end, we will give donations. We have the Jasper, which is our signature drink, and a piece of that drink, everyone goes out the door. We give to shelters. We're going to hopefully cycle through, like, Humane Society, Wishbone, Pet Central Helps. And we've contacted them to see if they could be on site for the opening with any possible animals for adoption, things like that. We're thinking about some live music. We're looking into it. And we have some other people like Jasper's Vet, Jasper's Groomer, stuff like that, just there to give kind of information to people, let them know they're there. That's kind of what we're looking for the grand opening.
So is Jasper, is it your pet?
He is. He's my bub. He's my bubba.
I have seen pictures.
He's a big guy.
On the Instagram page. Yeah. What kind of dog is that?
He's a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Oh.
And we adopted him through a shelter.
You were saying that your signature drink, the Jasper, when customers purchase that drink, that proceeds go to the animal shelter, is that correct?
Yep. A portion of every Jasper we sell goes to... And we're going to cycle through them because, like, a lot of people obviously were interested in being on receiving end from charities, you know. So we will probably cycle through monthly.
What kind of drink is that?
It's an iced latte, and it has, it's so hard to say this, sea salt caramel toffee.
it's a mouthful.
But yeah, it's sea salt caramel toffee iced latte. Yeah, and it has a honey cold foam on top.
Ooh, okay.
It's a black, white, and tan, like Jasper. We made it, yeah, it's a black, white, and tan.
Can you explain how the construction process has been?
I mean, we are just so incredibly grateful for the people that we've chosen to work with. Nord's Custom did all of the interior work. They fabricate shipping containers. They've obviously never done a coffee stand yet, but they did ours. and they have been just unbelievable to work with, just so great, so on top of everything, and we call them with a ton of crazy things. We're like, hey, we need to put this here, and they made it happen. We worked with CK Brush for our plumbing, and they've been amazing. We worked with Wilcox Electric, and they've been amazing. Yeah, we had some incredible construction partners. It was definitely the craziest project that any of them have ever worked on. Like, our plumbers said they put enough plumbing in our coffee stand to, like, plumb a house. So it was definitely a challenge, and everybody was really excited. It was incredible to work with them. They were all super excited about the project. And honestly, today's our soft open, and, like, 20% of the people who come have been friends and family of Nord's. So they got the word out for us.
Well, that's great. I mean, it definitely sounds like it was a challenge, but it seems like everything was handled very well.
We had an amazing team.
When did it begin?
I mean, we set it on site, I think, a month ago or so.
Oh, wow.
But before that, it was at Nord's, and the plumbers and electricians did all the rough-ins at Nord's. So it was a few months before that.
I guess my last question would be, what's the address of Jasper's?
Yeah, we're at 1601 General Electric Road. It's Unit 1 with the Big Red shipping container.
Is it a standalone or
It's a standalone. Okay. And it's double-sided. If there is one thing we wish more people knew, it's that both windows you can order at. You don't have to pull around. We do the full order, make the drink, hand it out at the same window. So if one line looks kind of busy, loop around the other side and go to the other window. It's a double-sided.
All right. Well, it was great speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Jasper's Java, located near the intersections of Veterans Parkway and General Electric Road, opens this month, aiming to provide the community with a unique spin to people's coffee runs.
I mean, I think the run game's been a huge part of it. I mean, we'll get into your passing game and everything like that as we go on with this interview, but three dynamic guys who can really run the ball, and Blake Moore and Winker's right, and then of course Cole. How has that been really big for you as something you can kind of rely on through your offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, makes my job a lot easier. We can run the ball. I think last year we didn't run it efficiently enough. Obviously, I didn't play well enough last year either. Our record shows that. But I think you guys saw it. Josh, a true freshman, stepped up last week too. Winker's right went down. He'll be back soon. But it was awesome to see a guy like Josh step up. I was really proud of him. That running back room is deep right now. And I mean, you got to stay healthy. That's the name of the game. But I've been really impressed with that room for sure. For sure.
So what is the difference, do you feel like difference in terms of improvements from last year to this year that kind of make you feel a little bit more confident than how you feel about what your last season went?
Yeah, I mean, I think just being in the film room every day with Coach Peterson, our offensive coordinator, has paid dividends for me. And I think it's small things that you guys probably don't really notice. It's like tying my footwork with my progressions, where my eyes are at pre-snap, what I'm looking at pre-snap. As soon as I get the ball in my hands, what am I looking at? I think everything's happened a lot faster for me this year. Not that things weren't last year, but just being on the same page with Coach Peterson as an offensive staff, I think, has just made a world of a difference for me.
So I have another question, because I have my own personal opinions about it, but you as a quarterback have to know what your decisions are. So when it comes to pass interference, are you just throwing it up and assuming there's at least a 50-50 shot that Cam O'Nelson or something's going to get things to go his way? Or do you, is it a little bit different the way you play like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the play. I think at times you can take a calculated risk if you want to say that. I think you see in the NFL all the time, you guys are getting pass interference, things like that. But I think there's a calculated risk that goes into that with deep shots. Things like that. So I think when I'm throwing the ball, I'm not like, oh, hopefully I get a pass interference here. I'm trying to put in a spot where my receiver can get in, the defender can't. And if the defender wants to commit that foul, then that's great for us.
Or like Sobkowitz is down there somewhere.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
He's down there somewhere. Amen. Zach, let's talk about you real fast before we get back into football. So from Minnesota to IMG here to ISU, you've had a big journey in football. What is it about football to you that has made you just stick with it? I mean, you're obviously really good at it, but do you love the sport? Do you love just being out there with the guys? What's kind of the bottom line for you?
You know, I do. I think there's days throughout my high school and college career where you wake up in the morning, you're like, you know what, I'd love to not do this. I'd love to just hang out with the guys. not the commitment that it takes to keep going is definitely hard. I think it's a piece that people don't really see as much, because when things are going well, they want to do interviews with you, and you guys are doing your job. When things aren't going well, people don't really want to be around you as much. People don't want to do the interviews. You see that all the time.
Yeah.
And just the day-to-day grind does get really hard. But I think it's more so the process and the life lessons you learn through that has been really awesome for me, and things that I'll carry on throughout my whole life.
Got to ask again more about yourself. What's the plan after football? And whether it's continuing to play or what might it be? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, hopefully I'm lucky enough and I've put good enough things on tape to get a chance at the next level. And whatever happens to that, I'll be at peace with that. I know I've given everything I can, will for Illinois State the rest of the season. And then after that, honestly, I'm not sure if I want to stay in sports, whether that's coaching, some administration, or hit the business world. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. So I guess I'll just kind of reevaluate where I'm at here in a couple months and see where it takes me.
We had a question come in on Twitter asking you what your favorite helmet is to wear for the Redbirds. I know the jerseys have kind of been switched up recently over your last 2 years. What's your favorite lid is the question via Twitter.
You know, I think I'm sure people would like me to say some flash. Like, we have that red helmet that I think is cool. But the white helmet I think is cool because Coach Spack, we do little Redbirds. Like, if you guys have seen, right, little Redbird stickers on the side, not the big one, but the little ones. And those come from guys playing well, doing certain things in the field, hitting certain goals. And it's cool to see other guys on the team kind of stack up those accomplishments throughout the season. So I like wearing those because it kind of has that vibe to it.
Absolutely.
So your cousin Sam Decker. Yeah. So have you met him? Do you like know him well or anything, or like are you not really that close?
You know, I don't keep in touch with him all the time, but I've definitely talked to him a handful of times. I've met him. I've had dinners with him and his family before. It was really cool to see what he accomplished at Wisconsin. And I believe he's over in Europe right now, still playing. He had a little bit of a stint there in the NBA. He's been back and forth. But it's been really cool to see what he's accomplished, and someone who I look up to for sure.
Let's talk about Coach. You mentioned the stickers in the helmet. You seem to have a smile on your face when you mentioned Coach. We talked to him just last spring in our live show at Buffalo Wild Wings, and we were really excited about how just down-to-earth he seemed. Just a dude, you know, somebody you want to be your neighbor. Do you get that same vibe from Coach? I mean, I'm sure he's a lot more intense in practice, but he seems like a heck of a guy.
No, 100%. I mean, he was a huge reason as to why I came here. Everything that he told me recruiting has been true. I mean, I couldn't say enough good about the guy. Even just outside of football, I think he's a great person, great human being. And I think that's something that's not easy to find in college football. I think at the end of the day, a lot of it is a business. You got to perform on the field. But I truly do believe that Coach Spack cares about people outside of football, whether you throw for a million touchdowns or zero touchdowns or whatever that looks like. And he's someone who has been one of my favorite coaches throughout my time, and definitely someone who I'll keep in touch with on a regular basis as soon as I leave here.
What you just heard there was WZND's Red Zone interview with quarterback Zach Anixton and his views and experience on his past seasons and challenges which the Redbirds face. Anixton has been playing with the Redbirds since 2022 and has earned many accolades playing with ISU, including numerous Missouri Valley Conference honors.
In the last episode of Second Look, we talked a bit about SGA's push to give tenants in certain apartments a heads up before they start touring their apartments. John, you went to the city council meeting last week. Was there any crossover between SGA and the council in making this a final decision?
Yeah, so that was a story we covered last week. SGA, they're striving, they're pushing to pass some legislation locally that would require landlords to give greater notice when they're touring various student apartments. What occurred at the meeting was it seemed more of a casual discussion with the council members. The SGA did speak with the various members like Scott Preston and Councilmember McCarthy, though I don't believe it was put through more of a formal process. I think kind of ground has been broken that there's interest in this field for both SGA and the council to discuss that. But I think if they do want to get it in more official terms, they would have to go through the proper processes as well as notifying the other parties, such as the landlords involved, too.
Right. So knowing the council as well as you do, do you think there is a high likelihood of this getting passed, or do you think they might want to shut it down?
I think the council, I think they operate very well on reaching compromise, because a lot of the issue that we're being presented with here is conflict between the students who are renting and the landlords who are renting out said apartments. I think when they start to bring it up, or when it's going to be brought up in more proper terms, I think there's definitely going to be, there might be a forum that'll be had where students will be able to voice their concerns as members of the community. Landlords will also be able to speak their own experiences and why they feel the need to defend their points. So I think in all likelihood, students, they make up a very large part of the Bloomington Normal area, but they're often a group which doesn't really have that much say in a lot of the council stuff. A lot of the students around here, they're only in the area for around 4 to 6 years or so usually. But a lot of these landlord groups, or a lot of these home ownership businesses, they've often been in the community for decades.
Right. So do you think there's going to be any real like pushback from like the council or even the community? Or do you think this is like a smooth sailing, one and done?
I think it'll definitely, the council, they'll field the question. I'm sure the council offices, they'll scope out and see what concerns are present, but definitely they're going to reach out to the various other groups involved, like landlord groups, and see their input on it and why they feel that they need to maintain the short notice procedure which they have at the moment.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Second Look. Welcome back to this week's edition of Second Look. I'm your co-host, Colleen Holden. So far, we've heard conversations about a local coffee shop with a unique twist opening in the area, as well as an in-depth interview with Zach Anikstead, Redbird football quarterback.
In other local news, ISU's Vice President of Finance and Planning, Dan Stevens, has announced his retirement effective January 1st. Stevens served the community for nearly 7 years and has been credited with supporting the growth of the schools, College of Engineering, and Mennonite College of Learning. Critics may view the vice president's career in a more contentious light, as Stevens developed the academic enhancement fee, one of the numerous fees students pay to attend ISU.
Illinois officials have highlighted the unprecedented growth of legal marijuana in the land of Lincoln after a new report published from the state. The report detailed how much the legal cannabis industry brought in $451 million for the state in revenues, which outpaced alcohol revenues from the state by over 40%, which totaled over $313 million over the fiscal year.
After numerous years of development and planning, the Colleen Hoos Elementary School opened its natural playground this weekend. The playground, designed by Danish architect Haley Nibelung, utilizes various natural features such as carved wood and stone instead of typical steel and plastic equipment seen on other playgrounds.
ISU's Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies Department and RSO Students Ending Rape Culture came together on Thursday night to march in protest of rape culture and demand a safer campus. The march lasted from 7 to 10 and featured a plethora of signage specifically targeting campus safety at night.
And a quick rundown of your local sports. The Normal High Ironmen have maintained their perfect record after sweeping Urbana on Friday by a score of 66-0. The Ironmen will take on Peoria Notre Dame this Friday.
The Redbird volleyball team defeated Valparaiso on Friday by a score of 3-0. This marked the third straight sweep the team has claimed, putting their record at 5-12 going into the homecoming match against Belmont on Friday.
In Redbirds football action, ISU took on South Dakota State yesterday, where they lost by a score of 21-40. They'll be looking to bounce back at the homecoming game against Indiana State this Saturday at 2.
The Twin Cities of Bloomington Normal are not generally known for much outside of the major universities they house, but one Blono native has put the town on the map with his success in the UFC world.
All right, perfect. So my first question is, against Matsumoto, you produced an absolute war, which left Dana White so impressed he applauded, entered the octagon, shook your hand, and even gave you your win bonus. Despite not being victorious, we've seen multiple fighters on Dana White's Contender Series get short notice opportunities. Do you think you've done enough for that opportunity, and when would you be able to enter the octagon?
Yeah, absolutely, man. The big boss was impressed. We spoke afterwards, and the matchmakers, and they're thinking about bringing me in. That, or I'm gonna win another fight outside of UFC, and then yeah, they're saying I'm ready to go. So yeah, hopefully soon. if they don't bring me in the next month or so, I think I'll probably take a fight in November, local in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
And yeah, man, go right to the show from there.
All right, perfect. So let's say you make it to the show, you make it on the big stage. Is there a certain opponent you want to face, or is there a dream opponent you have in the bantamweight division?
Yeah, Matsumoto. I want that fight back first. I'm sure I probably won't get it right away, but I'm looking to get that one back down the road. I got a good feeling that we're both going to go on a win streak here, and I'm really looking to get that one back. It was good scrap, but I just feel like I got more to show. A couple small adjustments in that fight, and even the lead up, I had a couple things going on that kind of hinder my performance a little bit. So I'm looking to come in 100% next time, and then stick to the game plan and get a good dub on that guy.
Okay. Well, that flowed perfectly into my next question, because watching the fight, I felt like that Matsumoto fight was very close, much closer than Michael Bisping was building it out to be on commentary, but that's another conversation for another day. But significant strikes were almost dead even. You even landed 2 takedowns. So I was just kind of curious, what do you wish you could have done differently to potentially have gotten that victory?
Yeah, well, like I said, man, there's just a couple things leading up going into that fight that I maybe did wrong. And yeah, I wasn't showing up at my best, and mainly it kind of hindered my wrestling, which, I'm a big wrestler. I've wrestled in a lot of my fights. I think I got a big advantage there, and I was kind of unable to use it. I was a little worried about him grabbing me, and I had some issues going on, some stomach issues leading up. So yeah, it's a tough one, man. It's a big learning experience every time. I don't want to make too many excuses for the fight, but it was a great fight, and I think I fought probably the toughest bantamweight that I've seen on Contender Series. I'm looking to get it back and have another good fight with him, and see if I can do a little better.
Yeah, no, it's a great mentality to have. But I mean, so you've had many great training partners throughout your career in MMA, and specifically I'm looking at the world-renowned Henry Cejudo. So I was wondering, what's the best advice he's ever given you while you've trained with him?
Man, just sacrifice is what he's all about, he's got another mentality, man, that most guys don't have, and that's what's kind of made him a world champion. The sport that we're in is big time mental game. So mm-hmm. And, if you want to be the best, you really got to give up a lot to get there. And you'll enjoy victory once you get it. But in the meantime, you got to sacrifice a lot, just staying consistent, man. And when you don't have fights coming up, you're in the gym, you're working to improve on those things you picked up on your fight. So going through the fights, going through the sparring sessions with a fine tooth comb, and just really like digging in and detailing where we can get better, because it's the little things that make the big difference. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, if you were to be signed by the UFC, according to what I've been able to see online, you'd be the first ever fighter from Bloomington, Illinois to be signed into the UFC. Technically, Chris Tickle competed on The Ultimate Fighter. However, he was never signed to the UFC. If you were given that opportunity, how important is it to you to represent Bloomington, Illinois on such a global stage?
Yeah, it's exciting for sure. But I don't think about it a ton. It's unfortunately, it's a selfish sport that we're in, and people are inspired by what I'm doing, I think that's great. And I want to represent and show everybody where I came from. But it's not something that I think about a lot. I'm just focused on getting better every day, man, and tackling my goals. And, as far as my goals, they don't stop at just getting in the UFC. That's just the first part of it. So, still got a long road ahead. I'm expecting to get that shot here soon, and then I'm looking to take it all the way. So
last question regarding Bloomington for a little bit, but have you visited since you moved away? And what was your favorite parts about Bloomington while you were growing up here?
Yeah, I come back. My parents still live in town, and I come back a couple times a year. But, you know, I just, the people are good, a little more laid back, and just hunting and fishing and stuff like that. That's what I grew up doing. So I miss getting outdoors and doing that kind of stuff. But yeah, you know, it's nice to come home and see people. And I enjoy it every time. So I like to visit in the summertime and the fall.
I was looking at your old Twitter account. You don't really use it anymore, but in June of 2015, you tweeted, "Stay focused on your goals. Believing in yourself is more than half the battle." And now 8 years later, you found yourself with this UFC opportunity. So would you say 23-year-old Casey Tanner would be proud of where you're at right now?
I'm proud of where I'm at, man. It's been a longer road than I thought. I've had injuries. I've had, you know, life stuff going on. I thought I'd be even further along by now, but hey, man, it is what it is. I'm still here grinding, doing my thing, and most importantly, getting better, you know, in all aspects of life, you know, as a person, outside, inside the cage. Still growing, man, so I'm happy.
Can't ever stop growing. That's what makes life so exciting.
That's it, man. Yep.
And then my final question is, so as we talked about, you were once a young boy in Bloomington, Illinois, who now finds himself with a UFC opportunity and is training with some of the best athletes in the world. I know there's multiple like smaller MMA clubs around the area. However, there's other kids that have aspirations like you and want to make it out of Bloomington, Illinois, could potentially compete in the UFC. So what do these kids need to do to end up like you?
Man, yeah, it's a tough road, let me tell you, man. I wouldn't advise it, but if you're gonna do it, you know, it's about just being consistent, showing up, practice every day, putting the miles in, putting the road work, you know, when no one's watching, you know, you're putting that work in, and that's what shows when you get out there and can compete. So yeah, man, I think that's the key to being successful in anything, right? Just showing up is half the battle, and you're gonna weed out most of the competition just by showing up every day. So yeah, guys, just get after it.
Tanner currently holds a record of 6-1 following a victory against Matsumoto. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Second Look. Today we talked to a new local coffee shop that's opening in the area, the UFC journey of Blono native Casey Tanner, and got an in-depth look at Redbirds football with quarterback Zach Anixton. If you missed any of today's episode, you can listen to the entire podcast on WZND.com. I'm John Rosny.
And I'm Colleen Holden.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.